What up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports on our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I'm JJ Fiddler. He's Mike Artabasio, and we are going off script this week, coming to you live via tape delay from my living room. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. It's nice to be in your living room. We unfortunately had a sort of a tragedy happen to a friend of ours, so we're not in the office. We're roving around. I appreciate you welcoming me into the house.
We're switching up the schedule a little bit, but we're still doing the same thing, talking Long Beach sports, and we're doing it as part of our partnership with Long Beach Post.
Well, this is not the only thing we do with the Post either. We've got our two weekly columns. You can check out the College Corner to catch up on Long Beach State and LBCC, and you can check out the weekly high school column, which is about as depressing as this episode is going to be. We're off script because we thought we'd still be covering some football teams, some water polo teams, some volleyball teams, and the fall season's basically over with the exception of two cross-country teams.
I think those volleyball, water polo, and football teams also thought that they would be playing this week and this weekend. You can actually see some highlights from those games and two catches in two football games that you absolutely must see this week on the show, which is our five-minute video recap of everything Long Beach sports, and of course, you can find it at Long Beach Post. And when you're on Long Beach Post and the 562.org, make sure you hit that subscribe button because we cannot survive providing local community sports coverage without your help. And if you do help and you are on that list, you get amazing opportunities like the chance to buy those fresh hats that are actually being shipped this week from Name Your Game.
I love when I get to come and hang out at JJ's place. And one of the reasons that I love it is that he lives in Belmont Shore and I can almost smell Naples Rib Company
when the wind is right, Mike.
And the wind is blowing right now. We're recording at the start of what looks like it should be a fun day of rain and thunderstorms. I guess it is a little bit of a good thing for people who don't have to practice today.
Yeah.
Naples Rib Company right next door. Well, not quite right next door, but I don't want to like tell people where you live. JJ lives close to Naples Rib Company. Like I said, I can almost smell it. And anytime I'm down here, I always want to pop in, say hi to Dave Ursini, the owner at Naples Rib Company. Tell him thank you for supporting Long Beach sports as he's done for so many years with his sponsorship of our coverage. So you get down there too. Tell Dave that Mike and JJ sent you.
Like we said, we're keeping it loose, but we will stick with our O the Week segment. Question of the week is football season really over already? And the answer is yes. It happened very quickly this last weekend. We had three local teams, Lakewood, Long Beach Poly, and Wilson, all in CIF quarterfinals. I couldn't find a time in which we had three Long Beach football teams win their first round playoff games in the time that you and I have been working together here in the city. And we had similar experiences on the road. You were with Poly at Rancho Cucamonga. I was with Wilson taking on West Ranch. And we both covered games that in the middle of it, statistically, the feel of the game, what we knew about those teams,
right,
you and I both thought that we were on our way to covering a semifinal with the Jackrabbits and the Bruins.
Yeah, it kind of felt like we were going to have, and listen, you and I have a vested interest on a number of levels in this. We end up, you know, developing connection. I talked about this in our column with the Post this week. We end up developing connections with the kids we cover. I mean, that's the kind of journalist that we are. And, you know, you get excited about, oh, this Wilson team is going to move one step closer to history. This Poly team is going to prove that, you know, they're going to get into this Final Four or whatever. And then, yeah, you know, from halftime to the end of the game, it was just a real stomach-turning kind of an experience.
Let's touch on Poly real fast. They were at Rancho Cucamonga outgaining the Cougars? Rancho Cucamonga Cougars?
The Cougs. Can I
be honest?
100.
Yeah. Up front, purple and black.
Oh, they're
other
great.
Than blue.
No, it's pretty sick.
I love that color combo.
It's pretty sick. Rancho Cucamonga has been a terror to the Moore League this year. Their volleyball team knocked Lakewood out as well. Just a big, diverse public school out there. We get to cover some of those as well. But yeah, Rancho Cucamonga, quarterback CJ Stroud, the All American. Poly's Makai Jordan actually doubled him up in pass yardage.
Crazy.
in a disappointing loss, 21-7 for the Jackrabbits. They just could not. Five trips to the red zone with one touchdown. Just could not get the ball in the end zone to finish the season off.
I don't know what it is about this football season, but it seems to be the ultimate reminder that if you can't score in the red zone, if you're not efficient in the red zone, you're just not going to be a good football team.
Well, I mean, that was definitely the story for Poly this year. I think the defense really proved itself. I think if you'd have told Poly that they'd hold C.J. Stroud and the Rancho Cucamonga offense averages 50 points a game, and they put up 48 points on a Division I team. So like that's a great offense. They have two Division I receivers, a good O-line, and All-American quarterback.
Yeah.
So to hold them to 21 points, you know, I talked to Stephen Barbie about it afterwards. So, yeah, if you'd have told me that our defense held them to 21 points, I assumed we win that game comfortably because the Rancho Cucamonga defense had not stopped anyone from scoring.
Right.
But Pauley, that was their story all year. The offense, they had the pieces in place, but it just didn't quite get sophisticated enough to execute in the red zone when they needed it against these against the top competition. They did fine against the Moore League, obviously, but you know, first and goal on the 10, you got to score that, especially if you get it five times, you got to score it more than once if you're trying to win a game.
No doubt. In retrospect now, I think that Pauley football fans should be pleased with the overall results of this season, considering the talent level and also considering the age and class level of the guys who were on the field this year. A very young Jackrabbits team, I feel, outperformed most of their fans' expectations.
I think it's sort of twofold. I think that expectations have finally lowered for the Pauley football program.
That's kind of what I mean.
This is the first year where I haven't heard people going, this team has to win a Division I championship or whatever. But yeah, I think on the one hand, I heard from a lot of people who are like, you know, they thought when Pauley was in Division II, oh, this is going to be a CIF championship, right? And I said, well, it's pretty good teams in Division II, one of whom just got removed from the playoffs in San Clemente. I don't know that would have been a tough game for Pauley to win.
It would have been a tough game for the Tritons too, because they wouldn't have been on the field.
They wouldn't have been on the field. Yeah. Chaminade beat San Clemente just fine. So I would agree with that. I mean, I think that most of the talent on the team is very young, and they certainly showed that they're good. The question is next year. I expect them to be a lot better next year with so many people returning. The question is, are they going to be Sierra Canyon or San Clemente or whatever next year? Are they going to be number one, number two in Division II? Or do they get to be Bishop Amat and it's like, congratulations, you get to go play Modern Day in the first round. Like, that's the problem with the way that the structure is set up for the CIF playoffs is number eight means bye-bye, your season's over. Number nine means you're number one in Division II.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no telling. Like, we just won't know until next year what any of that looks like, obviously.
I think those top two divisions are going to look a lot like they do this year, next year. I don't think there's going to be a lot of
shifting.
The top
four will. You know what I mean? Like, I think you could pencil in Bosco, Modern Day, Corona Centennial, and Mission Viejo for the top four for probably
a while. And there's only eight teams up there, so that's half the bracket.
So then the other four, it's like, who gets to go play these guys in the first round? Yeah. We had no upsets last week, as we expected. Yeah. I don't think we're going to have any upsets this week, as we're expecting.
Well, that CIF playoff equity we've been talking about so much over the last few years that Mike and I both agree has given a B-12 shot to Long Beach Sports.
It's like a B-1200 shot.
Wilson football, definitely one of the teams that has taken advantage of that. They were in Division 7 this year and went on the road to take on West Ranch. And I'm going to tell this story in a different way because it really wasn't as much about the final score or the fact that there were five touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Ridiculous. I went on the road with them on the bus. And while on the bus, Wilson football coach Mark Ziegenhagen comes back to the seat that I'm sitting in and he's like, they just told me that they are making this football game a community event because Saugus High School had a shooting last week, is in the same district.
Well, it was just, I mean,
as West
like
Ranch.
Hours before the game. I mean, wasn't it just the day prior or something?
So it was the day prior, yeah. So the community, the district, turns out for this game. And when Ziggy told me that, my first thought was, you know, obviously, oh my gosh, that's such a horrible thing for that community to go through. I'm glad that they have this moment to kind of come together and get a distraction going.
This is what high school sports are for.
This is what high school sports are for, exactly. My immediate second thought was, uh-oh. Because sometimes you're just on the wrong side of somebody else's story. They don't make Hollywood sports movies about the team that loses the championship game, usually. Somebody's got to lose for there to be the other team that's like, wow, could you believe the blankety blanks won that championship, the thing that they had never done or the comeback that had never happened before? There's always got to be that other team. Wilson was that team on Friday, and you could feel it happening the whole time. And sure, on the Wilson sideline, you want to not think that. It's 28-7 in the first half. You're like, all right, the Bruins are just a better football team. Sometimes emotion isn't enough, right? But then some crazy stuff starts happening on the field. The crowd gets a little bit crazier. The connection between the team and the crowd becomes palpable. They're running to the crowd to celebrate every touchdown, and there were a lot of them. So the crowd was into the game in a way that
they're running the Saugus High flag back and forth. West Ranch.
They ran out onto the field with the Saugus High flag. I mean, they went about it in the perfect way, in that if you're looking for an emotional comeback, they put themselves in perfect position to have an emotional comeback. That's exactly what happened. They chipped away at the Wilson Bruins. And you could say, oh, West Ranch won that football game because they figured out how to throw against the Wilson secondary. That is true. Absolutely. However, I also think West Ranch won that football game because they went into halftime and probably whipped themselves into a frenzy, because in the second half, they just looked like a different group of kids. And I know you and I have argued about this before, like the power of positive thought. I do believe the reason why there's home court advantage is because if you put 30 plus thousand people rooting for the same thing in a contained space, that thing is a little bit more likely to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think that West Ranch team wins that football game if it's played in Long Beach, is what I'm saying. And that's because of the people and the community and the environment that was there at that game. Human emotion is a powerful thing, man. It's the most powerful thing, honestly.
Well, I mean, especially in sports, and I think especially in high school, where no one's there because it's their job. I mean, really, even the coaches and officials, no one's being paid like minimum wage even, you know? So everyone's there because of some kind of an emotional investment in what's happening. And when you kind of crank everything up to 11, yeah, I agree with you. And I, it's interesting. I was at Wilson yesterday for a signing day with Rachel Glenn, and you know, everyone's pretty hangdog over there still about it, obviously.
That's a track star you should pay attention to also, by the way.
Rachel Glenn. But you know, I mean, people over there took it really hard. I mean, I just Wilson is not a football school, or has
they
not
were up
been 21-7, a football school.
28-7, excuse me.
What I was just
going
to say was, I mean, you know, Wilson has had so much athletic success in so many other sports. And they've never considered themselves a football school. They've always been the school that is good at other sports: baseball, water polo, aquatics, etc. But the thing is, man, football is different. And when your football team gets rolling like theirs was this year, everyone starts believing in it, and you become a football school for that season. And so you could just feel this sadness across the campus that,
well, honestly,
the season was over.
If they lost 21-14 in a regular game, it probably wouldn't have meant that much.
Well, I just think that they you know, I was talking to athletic director Jeff Evans, our guy, and we were just talking about, you just,
Mike, there were over 100 points scored in this.
No, I know,
game.
But
you
should make, you got to
check out this
plans.
Video, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's one of the best videos that you've ever done, to be honest with you. I really like.
Thank you.
We were both, you know, it was a difficult night. I was not aware of that context of the Saugus shooting. I wasn't aware that, like, I didn't know where West Ranch was. So until you came back, I wasn't aware of that context. But I thought it was, that video to me is a great 6-minute testimony to the power of high school sports, the power of human emotion, as you said, and why, even when we're covering the team that ends up, as you said, on the wrong side of someone else's story, why this job is important to me. Because I think it's important for people to tell those stories.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's what we like about this job, to be honest. It's it's telling the stories like that. It was emotional. And you stand on the sideline and you think, oh, man, what am I doing with my life that's so great? Like, I need to help people.
I need
more.
To do more.
Yeah, but that's what's beautiful about high school sports is in their purest form, that's what they're there to do. They're there to help people. Let's move on to our Athletes of the Week, brought to you, as always, by Naples Rib Company. We've got some cross-country stars at the top of this list.
We're going to speed things up a little bit here. As JJ mentioned, the schedule a little different for us. Ronan McMahon-Staggs from Poly and Zami Moskoko from Wilson. Zami, he's always doing something at Wilson. I believe he's also going to be a key player on the soccer team.
Very key.
And then for the track team as well.
Major
but
key.
Both those guys led their teams to the CIF Finals. That'll be happening this Saturday. Poly and Wilson both trying to qualify for state out of that. But that's a huge deal to get two teams through to the finals. That has not happened in a while. It was Wilson's first time going to the final since 2008. Made all the more impressive because their usual leader, Caden Elsesser, actually broke his foot in the middle of the race.
Woof.
And still toughed it out and finished strong. Our girls volleyball athlete of the week, Adania Falmuina.
Can we mark him down real quick? Can we mark him down right now for the end of season awards? Like
Caden,
greatest playthrough injury
most
moment?
Ironman. Yeah. Because he finished. He didn't finish as strong as he normally does, but he actually did finish the race. I think he finished like third on the team too.
Wow.
That's got to hurt a little bit to finish behind the guy who broke his foot, though.
He's
right?
Listening.
That's got to be motivation.
He's listening to this at home. Like, what do I got to do to break in on AOT Dub, then?
Zammy really picked the slack up, though. Did great. Finished 13th overall in that heat. Again, a big deal for them. Adania Falmuina could have won Athlete of the Week basically every week. She was a star for Poly in a win and a loss last week in the state playoffs. 7 kills, 12 assists, 8 digs, 3 blocks, and 4 aces in a win in Bakersfield. And our College Athlete of the Week, Tia Shavira from Long Beach State Volleyball, was one of the two setters that's been kind of tossing the starting position back and forth like a hot potato for that team this season. Switched to outside hitter and played really well.
It's so cool.
In wins over Santa Barbara and Cal Poly, which is one of the weirdest seasons ever for the women's volleyball team at Long Beach State. But
that's
Tia
so
Shavira
cool.
might have found a new spot on the team. I don't know.
Finish strong, right? If you just got to finish strong if you're trying to build a program. That's what they're doing at the beach. You can catch the AOT Dub every week. We go to our games of the week, and there's actually a few coming up. We just mentioned cross country. They are at CIF this weekend. We've also got Long Beach State at home on Friday night against Fresno Pacific. If you haven't heard of that team, that's okay, because they're not even in Division
I. Is it like a combo of Fresno State and the University of Pacific?
Here's the deal. Long Beach State men's basketball is playing more home games in their preseason than ever before under Dan Munson. If you're going to do that, and you're going to play teams like Fresno Pacific, you've got to win. You've got to win handily, and you've got to win in a way that's exciting and makes people want to come back. We'll see what the beach has on Friday night. And finally, on Saturday, LBCC football playing in a bowl game.
Yes, Saturday night, 6 p.m., hosting Southwestern College in the Southern California Bowl. They really do everything they can to suck all the pizzazz out of these bowl names at the JUCO level, dude. The Southern California Bowl, LBCC hosting Southwestern College, 6 p.m. Saturday. We will have full coverage of that game. Listen, this is your last chance to go see DeAnthony Jones in Long Beach for a cheap LBCC ticket. This is a dude who will be a star on Saturdays, a very good shot to play on Sundays. Just an absolute havoc wreaker at linebacker. Come see the game. This has been a really fun team to watch and cover this year. They're trying to go out on a high note, so we'll see what happens.
Players of the week to watch are all the players we've listed in the winter previews, and boy, do we put a lot of names.
Listen, realistically, just stop listening to the podcast and go read all the previews. We already have up, as we're recording, all the girls basketball and boys basketball previews. JJ's putting up all the girls soccer and boys soccer previews. Then we're going to have all the water polo previews. We can get to wrestling soon as well. It's everything you need to know. I mean, it is like every single
all
school got a preview. Of all the basketball coaches, only one coach didn't get back to me, the Jordan girls basketball coach. Still got a nice little piece up on Jordan. Shouted out Melody Reyes, their top player. So we're deep in it now with winter. And next week we'll be ready to start talking about these basketball and soccer teams and what they got going on.
We move on to the quote of the week. And I got to go back to Long Beach State. Was able to record the LB Fee Show with Andy Fee on Monday. And then we went out to the pool, Kendall and Winocrotic Center, and talked to Austin Stewart, one of the all-time greatest water polo players in Long Beach State history. He's going to move into third all-time in scoring, and he's really not even a goal scorer. So we were out there, and the quote of the week, I think, comes from Gavin Arroyo. He's running his team through practice. They're in the GCC tournament this weekend. That's the tournament they won unexpectedly last year that got them into the NCAA tournament. And I turned to Coach as he was walking off the pool deck, and I said, "Go shock the world, Coach." And he turned to me and he said, "That's just what we do."
Love it.
I love that quote so much because, one, great confidence. Love it. And two, yeah, that is what Long Beach State men's water polo does, because no one ever expects anything from them, because the Pac-12 teams are so darn strong in the MPSF. That's why Long Beach State moved to the GCC, so that they could find a different path to that NCAA postseason. And I just love that attitude. Go shock the world. Yeah, that's just what we do.
Beautiful. Our list of the week, the top things we're looking forward to in the winter season. We can, again, go read all the previews, guys. This is the 6,000 words of basketball previews up.
It's ready
on the website right now. Our number one, actually, I'll start with basketball just since that's literally all I've been thinking about the last 48 hours. Peyton Watson.
Yeah, with a bullet. That's the number one on the list.
I mean, the kid has started one varsity basketball game, but comes in to this season with scholarship offers from basically everywhere, five-star recruit, consensus top 40 in the country. Biggest basketball athlete we've had here recruiting-wise since Jordan Bell and Rashawn Prince. But Shelton Diggs told me he thinks he'll be better than both those guys.
Unreal.
And let me say this. This is what I love, because I got a chance to talk to Peyton at our photo shoot. We've seen a lot of kids get to that position and really start to think that their crap doesn't stink.
Mm-hmm.
And this kid, I told him, I said, What do you think about all this? You've got all this stuff. I mean, you haven't played a real – I know you've done great USA basketball. Yeah. You did great, you know, in AAU, but you haven't played – you've started one game against Poly. You know, one game for Poly. And he goes, I'm aware of that, and I'm really excited to prove myself this
year. That's awesome.
Like, that's the way he's looking at it. And it's not great news for the rest of the Moore League because it's his goal to put up a highlight tape every night.
Yeah.
But for people who film highlight tapes, it's great news.
It is. That is great news. Also great news, the easiest way to tell if an elite athlete has their quote-unquote stuff together is how they react with younger kids.
Yeah.
Younger kids on their team, younger kids in the community, whatever. Peyton Watson playing basketball with me and Vinny during the photo shoot on Sunday.
For sure. Well,
that's all you gotta know, dude.
And he's in a weird spot because, as I mentioned, one career start, but Poly only has three players back on varsity, and he's one of them, which means he's also gonna be like a leader and a captain this year with a team full of younger kids, including his little brother.
Yeah. The number one thing I'm looking forward to in the winter is the developing style of Moore League soccer, because when you and I came in, they didn't have any field turf, and it was rough and tumble out there.
It's a little different now,
bro. It's rough and tumble, dude. Those Wilson-Poly girls soccer matches were more like wrestling matches than soccer matches in some points, with the mud and the field and the lack of finesse, let's say. And now, with the field turf, the developing game, these teams want to be in the higher divisions. They've got to possess. They've got to move the ball. They've got to be able to play multiple styles to survive. That being said, when it came down to the come down last year, the Poly-Wilson game, the Milliken-Poly game for the girls, on the boys' side, Wilson-Cabrillo, Cabrillo-Milliken. What changed those games? Physicality.
I was about to say that it ended up still being pretty physical.
Yes, and so it's going to be interesting to watch the development of the style of the league, because who goes all out for that style, but who stays true to the root of the league, and what balance does that turn into? You know, when you go to the playoffs, like, what style are you taking in the playoffs? It's going to be fascinating.
I'll tell you right now, the change in boys soccer has been fascinating. Milliken finished third last year. I think it's the first time that's happened. If Milliken does not win the league title this year, which I would not say they're favored to do.
In Rod Petkovich last year, legendary coach.
So if they don't win the league title, it'll be just the second time since 1990 that Milliken goes back-to-back years without winning the league title,
Milliken win the league title, it will be the first time they've won back-to-back since 1986.
Right. So then on top of that, you've got Wilson and Poly are, from everyone I've talked to, very motivated on the girls' side. I mean, I think if you're missing a Wilson, Milliken, or Poly girls soccer game, game between those three teams, you're crazy. Those games are going to be really, really exciting. I can't wait for all that.
The last thing I'm really looking forward to in the winter is the future of wrestling, because you and I have talked about the slow death rattle that high school football is kind of going through right now, losing numbers each and every year, the safety concerns, people taking their kids out of football to play other sports and all that. And if there is a next sport on the chopping block because of time, injuries, safety, health, it's probably wrestling.
Right.
So I'm very concerned, also curious, to see how the wrestling community goes through the next few years and whether or not it also feels the sting of, you know, it takes a lot of time to be a wrestler and you don't get good in your first year and it's very difficult and sometimes difficult on your body, let alone, you know, on your life. So I don't know where the future of wrestling is, but I know there's a place for it.
There's also less, scholarships available for wrestling than there are for, you know, football and a lot of the other sports. I'm curious. Yeah, I will say that one thing that's been great in wrestling is, at least in Long Beach, and I think kind of across the southern section, you know, girls wrestling has become such a bigger influence and a bigger sport. You see more people competing in. I'm looking at the wrestling stats right now. And they've gone up over the last few years, but
that's because girls wrestling. That is
because
now.
Girls and
you,
they,
if you involve an entire another gender, your numbers better go up. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
It's time to bring on our old friend Jason Ruiz, writer here at Long Beach Post. But we always talk to you about the UCLA Bruins, your Dallas Cowboys, the column that you write here at the Post. And this week, you're going to be watching a game that a lot of local college football fans are watching. It's UCLA. USC.
Yeah, it's my favorite weekend of the year. The Cowboys Patriots game is an added bonus, but this is by far, you know, win or loss, more times than not recently loss, it's still a good weekend.
What is it like? First of all, do you only go to the games at the Rose Bowl because you're a UCLA fan?
No, I've been to a number of rivalry games at the Coliseum. I just don't like the whole setup there. I mean, you're paying like $90 to park at a KFC parking lot.
Yeah,
it's, you know,
not many people like the football going experience at the Coliseum.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like build a giant parking structure, or I mean they make you can take a shuttle from the Galen Center, but it's just the Rose Bowl's farther, but it's a more fan friendly in and out
without
experience.
Question.
Yeah.
Is it the best tailgate of the year as well?
The USC game?
Yeah,
without a doubt. I mean, because, you know, with our the Bruins have been struggling with attendance, so you take the 30,000 Bruin fans and you add another 40,000 Trojan fans that would probably be there this year, and you almost get a full house, and you know you get a lot of. I mean, it's a lot of. There have been issues. There, what I think about 10 years ago, somebody got stabbed at the Rose Bowl.
I do remember that. Yeah.
But for the most part, everybody behaves themselves. It's a lot of, you know, good natured ribbing before and after the game, and it's a nice atmosphere.
It's always a nice atmosphere at Rose Bowl, no matter who's on the field. I think it makes it extra nice that the place is full. Do you have a top favorite moment of this rivalry? I mean, obviously it might be one of your wins, but
one of them, right? You know what's funny is that I was the 13-9 game's obviously gonna be you know, in the top
what
five.
Year was that?
That was 2006, I want to say.
Yeah, okay.
So funny story about that is I mean USC was number two in the country going mm-hmm. into that game. UCLA was led by Carl Durrell,
yes,
and was going nowhere fast. And somebody offered me free tickets, and they said, hey, we have free tickets to the game if you want to go with us. And I said, nah, I mean, we'll watch this one at home, right? Immediately regretted that. Immediately. I was like, oh, wow, the defense came to play today. And, then, you know, the thing about the USC-UCLA game is that, you know, just regardless of records, and I think that's obviously one of the better examples of that, is that every team comes to play. You might see a team show up that you haven't seen play all year, like in that game where you're like, oh, this team plays defense. what was it? Patrick Cowan can play quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it was that's what I like about everybody's amped up, whether it's the fans, like it's at an 11 in the parking lot.
Yeah.
A good 11, not like fighting each other 11. And then when the team comes out, people are ready to, I don't know if you want to see crackheads, you know, trying to get away from the concussions, but
yeah,
they're ready to go, and you can tell that.
You and I were talking before we turned on the microphones about how this rivalry and this game is kind of like, okay, that's how your season went. Like for UCLA this year did not start well, historically bad, and now all of a sudden you guys are in position to go to a bowl game and have what would be considered a successful UCLA football season. USC on the other spectrum of that, both with expectations and, you know, this season living up to said expectations. So is it really whoever wins this game on Friday had the better season? Or Saturday, excuse me.
I mean, it always helps. I mean, so last year, what, UCLA finished 3-9?
Yeah.
They beat USC, but USC had the better season, obviously. It's a nice little, I don't know how to explain this. It can take a lot of pain away. But I mean, USC is in such a unique position in which they're probably going to finish, you know, with 9, maybe 10 wins,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to fire their coach.
Yeah.
So it's a really weird dynamic.
Is that a successful season? I don't think so.
I mean, it depends on what your expectations are.
National championship. If you're a USC football fan, isn't that your expectation every year?
I've never been a USC football fan.
Definitely spent a lot of time with them, though.
I know. My brother is one of them. We'll be watching the game together on Saturday. But
how's that go?
A
lot of S talk during the game, or do you get that out of the way early?
We get it out of the way. There's a peace treaty laid down right before kickoff, and then, you know, just kind of we're off in our own worlds, you know, reacting to the good and bad for each team. But is it a good season for? Is it a successful season for USC? I mean, you have to look at reality. I mean, what are they on their fourth quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think 10 wins is a great season.
Okay.
UCLA is on their first quarterback, and you know they're trying to get to six wins. So,
speaking of quarterbacks, is Dak Prescott going to look better than Tom Brady on Sunday? Because Tom Brady has not looked good. Let's all be honest.
Yeah, I mean, they're holding open tryouts for wide receiver up there in New England.
Yeah,
right now,
he also doesn't have anybody to throw the ball to. That's true, and that's why he was pushing so hard for Antonio Brown to stay there. Because when it was happening, I was like, I don't understand why Brady's putting his own, you know, brand out on a limb for this guy. But now I get it, because he's passing to guys like Dorsett who can't even stay on the field.
If you put Brady on the Cowboys right now, would be insane.
Yeah.
Because Dak has, I mean, I'm not downplaying what he's done, because as a non-believer in Dak, year one and half of last year, seeing him play this year, I'm like, oh my God. Like, what? He has an embarrassment of riches at every level of the, I mean, even his tight ends are probably arguably the weak spot, but tier one running back.
Yeah.
Probably two tier one wide receivers.
No doubt.
Michael Gallup is amazing, and he's playing like that. He's now leading the league in yardage. He's, what, top three in QBR. He may look – I mean, it's – I trust Dak to play well in a game like this because he has that leadership quality where he can – I mean, you look at the last – every game this year, they've started off slow, and he battles through it and – finishes the game. He plays well. I mean, the defense has lost a lot of these games, but will he look better than Brady? I mean, it depends on the weather. Dak doesn't play in weather like that.
It's bad weather.
Yeah. So
it's very bad weather. I'd bet on Bill Belichick to know how to stop Dak Prescott. That's where I would put my money.
And I mean, it could be, there's two things will happen. Two things can happen this weekend. The Cowboys win and Dak Prescott gets thrust into the MVP conversation this will be his signature win. Or he loses and we talk about what we've been talking about for the whole season. The Patriots defense is historically good.
Yep.
Belichick is obviously the GOAT probably of coaching.
Yep.
And this was expected. So, I mean, the Cowboys are playing with house money, I feel, with this.
Oh, interesting. So which would you rather have if you could only have one? UCLA beats USC or the Dallas Cowboys beat the New England Patriots?
No, obviously the Bruins, dude.
Obviously?
Obviously. If the Bruins finished 1-11 this year and the 1-1 was against SC, that's a successful season.
And that's when you know it's a real rivalry. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Jason. Appreciate it. That's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Another episode of What Up Long Beach is going in the books. But before we get out of here, we got to do our recommendations. Mine is something I've done before. Man in the High Castle. It's an Amazon Prime show. It's about time travel and things that could have happened.
Yeah.
Very interesting. It's back for the next season, and it picked up right where it left off. I love binge-worthy shows like that where, like, the pace is so consistent that you really don't know the end of the episode, the beginning of the episode, the end of the season, beginning of the season. Man of the High Castle. Check it out. What you got, Mike?
Really enjoyed The Mandalorian. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, but
ditto.
But we did have... Mike Wadley's son, Adam, who's a friend of mine.
That's Lakewood Athletic Director Volleyball Coach, yes. Mike Wadley.
Pitched me on the show, and he just said, it's just a Star Wars Western. And I was like, oh, well, I like both those things.
Absolutely. Speaking of pace, love the pace of Mandalorian.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Not in a hurry, bro.
No.
And, not in a hurry.
And as is usually the case with Disney, like, also just a great excuse to sell a very cute toy that I'm sure my kids are going to be asking me for Christmas. So.
Also true, and way to not throw that spoiler alert in there. I respect that. We got to get out of here and get back to finding the next big Long Beach sports story. So for Mike and for JJ, for everybody at both websites.
For Toonie.
Who put these things together. For Toonie. Stay dry out there, Long Beach. We'll see you in the stands this weekend. Take care.